الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. دروش پڑھ لیں. آنریبل برادرز ان اسلام، مدرز اینڈ سسٹرز لسننگ ایٹ ہوم، فضل اللہ تعالی وی کورڈ سم آف دا امپورٹنٹ ایپیسوڈز دیٹ اکرڈ ڈیورنگ دا لائف ٹائم آف سیدنا سلیمان علیہ الصلاۃ والسلام، including the story of Bilqis and Hudhud. Another fascinating narration which is recorded in the Quran, in the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a story, an incident of a group of ants that are communicating with one another, an ant that speaks to its community during the lifetime of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention of this one particular ant in His glorious speech. In fact, one entire chapter of the Quran has been titled as Suratul Naml. And a naml in the Arabic language means an ant. Naml means an ant. In Urdu it's called chunti. Chunti, a very small makhluk, a very small creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And scholars have mentioned that every letter, every word, every zabar, zair, pesh which is in the Quran has a reason. There is great wisdom in the Quran, subhanallah. And so we see that the Quran has been divided into 30 parts, 30 sections, 114 chapters. Only the important points have been recorded and mentioned in the Quran. Otherwise, for a person to become a hafiz of the Quran would have been a difficult journey. And so for an example, Allah only speaks of salah, and Allah says, وَأَقِيمُ salah, that establish your salah. Now all the masail that relate to salah have not been mentioned in the Quran. That you have to refer back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If everything was mentioned of salah in the Quran, and Allah says give zakah, but give zakah, the detailed ruling of zakat is in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Perform your hajj. All of the masail of hajj, if Allah was to record in His glorious speech, we would have the Quran in 25-30 volumes. 25? 30 volumes. And so to take and handle the Quran with you anyway, or for a hafiz to memorize the Quran of 30 volumes, nothing difficult, of course, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands the mindset of a human being and its capacity. So everything that is recorded in the Quran is there for a wisdom, for a reason, and it is there for the benefit of insaniyat. I was teaching a group of students and I said, In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention of the fara'is of wudu. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu idha kumtum ila salah faghsilu wujuhakum. Allah says, when you stand for salah. So the word kumtum means when you stand. So the scholars have taken one important mas'ala, that qiyam in salah is farz. Qiyam in salah is, so you have to stand. As Maulana Dawood Sahib has said all the time, that today people like to become chairman. What do they like to become? Chairman. A bit of a problem here and a bit of a problem there, they become chairman. So they bring a chair and they sit. Allahu Akbar. Why do you want to become a chairman? Especially in your salah. You're young, you're fit, stand in front of Allah. This is what Allah is saying. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu idha kumtum. When you stand for your salah. So the ulama and the fuqaha have taken out masail that qiyam is farz, because Allah has used the word qiyam. And then in another place, Allah speaks of ruku and sujood. So again in salah, your ruku and sajda becomes farz. So if you miss out from your ruku and sujood, your namaz is invalid. And then straight away the pattern of wuzu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wash your face. Faghsilu wujuhakum. Wash your face. Wa aydiyakum ilal marafiq. And wash your hands. And then Allah says, wamsahu bi ru'usikum. And make masah of your head. And wash your feet. Now subhanallah, three things you have to wash. But Allah does not say wash your head. Allah does not say wash your head. Why? Why doesn't Allah say wash your head? Wash your feet. Wash your face. Wash your hands. Why not wash your head? Why not? It's what we call taklif ma la yutaq. That Allah understands the weakness of a human being. Imagine if there was this ruling that you would have to wash your head, going in the wuzu khana and putting your head under the tap, and somebody might even bring head and shoulders, and that I have to wash my head and wash my hair. When will it get dry? You'd have to have hair dryers, and by the time you come to the masjid, everything will be dripping and the mosque will be soaking, the carpet will be wet. How difficult it would be. So it's easy to dry your face. Just take a towel and dry it. It's easy to dry your hand. Just take a towel and dry it. It's easy to dry your feet, in a sense. There's no hair. So it's easy. And on top of that, if you're wearing leather socks, you just do masah. So how meherban and merciful is Allah that He says, don't worry, I understand that you people have to go to work, you have to have work in your office, you have to go everywhere. It's okay. Wash your hands, wash your feet. You don't have to even wash your feet if you're wearing thick socks and leather socks rather. But do masah of your head. And masah also one quarter. Masah also one quarter would suffice, according to the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. Subhanallah. How meherban is Allah? Amen. Think about this, my respect. Imagine, not for the men folks, that, you know, nowadays the men have a tint all the time, short hair. It's okay. But what about the women? For them to wash the hair all the time, what about for the women? How difficult it would be for the women. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands the taqaza, the needs of a human being. So everything that is mentioned in the Quran are important points. And the tashri and the commentary and the detailed information goes back to who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so the scholars have mentioned that Allah makes mention not as the name of the surat, that it's Suratul Naml, but the word Naml is part of the Quran. It is part of the Quran. It is an ayat of the Quran. Hatta idha atau ala wadin Naml. So it is part of the Quran. Allah speaks of this very small makhluk, which is the ant. An ant. Allah speaks of it. That nothing in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is insignificant. that you think that why has Allah created this very small makhluk? Ulama have mentioned that the ants are one of the most intelligent from amongst the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the most intelligent from amongst the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite the fact that it is very small in size. Did you know that an ant can actually carry the burden twice its weight? The ant can carry the burden twice its weight. For its durability and its strength that is there, it carries the burden twice its weight. And it's a very intelligent makhluk. They only work in unity. There is great ijtima'iyat. They are never fragmented. They always remain in unity, united with one another. Allahu Akbar. And it is said that during the summer days, during the hot season, when they gather food, they stock enough food so it actually is enough for them throughout the winter period. So they stockpile food which is enough for the entire period, entire duration of time until the end of winter. Very intelligent. And scholars have mentioned that this makhluk, very small makhluk of Allah, is free from greed and selfishness, which is one of the most prevalent spiritual diseases that you will find amongst human beings. Greed. All the discord, disunity, family issues, problems, everything that you see is because of greed and selfishness. One brother will not talk to another brother. Wife, husband problems, neighbors problems. Why? Greed, selfishness, greed, selfishness. And this small makhluk of Allah is free from greed and selfishness. Scholars have mentioned. And they give an example. That so for an example, if one ant, if it was to identify a location in which food is available for them, in which food is available for them, there's no greed and selfishness. It will go back to its colony, to its community, and it will inform everyone there that if you go to that location, there is enough food for all of us. There is just no greed and selfishness. And perhaps the scholars have mentioned the most beautiful feature of this very small makhluk, and the reason why Allah has made mention of this in the Quran is that this makhluk is very caring and compassionate to its own community. Very compassionate to its community. What we would call a very philanthropic community. To be humane. Philanthropic community. It looks after its type, the ant community. Even if it's of a different tribe. It's very caring and compassionate. And the dalil of that is mentioned in Surah An-Naml. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَوْ عَلَىٰ وَادِ النَّمْلِ. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam, and you know, mashallah, he was a great Nabi of Allah and a great king. To the rest of the world, he is known as King Solomon or King Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam. And he was with his group of people, hosts of men, jinn and birds traveling, and Allah says he got to a place which is Wadi Naml, the valley of the ants. So when he got there, subhanallah, what we also need to understand is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this instinctive quality to Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam to understand different languages of the world. Languages that are spoken by the animals, the birds and also the insects. And in the modern world today, subhanAllah, it's easy for us to understand, because there's a lot of research that goes in understanding how the fishes communicate with one another, how the birds communicate with one another, how insects actually communicate. And so Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, imagine, he got to this valley, and it was where the ants were living, their dwellings, the ant colony. Immediately, Allah says, قَالَتْ نَمْلَةٌ. And نَمْلَةٌ is nakira. It's an indefinite term. So an ant spoke out. Which ant? There's no mentioning of that. An ant spoke out, and it said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّمْلُ دْخُلُوا. And it said to all of the ants, that make sure all of you return back into your dwellings. So an ant spoke out saying that, O you ants, return back into your dwellings. Now Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam, Allahu Akbar, Allah had amplified the speech of that one ant for Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam, which was his miracle. Otherwise, for a person, if you speak to me, I can hear you. For an ant to speak out, there should be some kind of a vocal sound for a person to hear something, some kind of a sound, and for an ant to speak out. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had amplified the speech of this little makhluk, and Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam could actually understand exactly what they were saying. That is why it is recorded in the Quran, and it said, La yahtimannakum Sulaiman. Bay, go back into your dwellings, lest Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam and his army was to crush you. La yahtimannakum Sulaimanu wa junudu. That go back into your dwellings, otherwise he comes with his group of people, they will crush you. So go back inside. وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Unknowingly. Because how is it possible for human beings to actually see everything what is beneath them? And so unknowingly what they will do is that we will be crushed. So quickly go back. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam stopped. فَتَبَسَّمَ. The Quran says he smiled. What did he do? The Quran says he smiled. فَتَبَسَّمَ. ضَاحِكًا مِّن قَوْلِهَا. Now, tabassum means to smile. Tabassum means to smile. And ضَاحِكَ means laughing at her speech. Laughing at her speech. So one is tabassum, which is when you smile at someone, which is the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would generally smile at people. So this is called tabassum. And he smiled, laughing at her speech. And immediately thereafter, the Quran says, what did Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam do? A very beautiful dua. Imagine, the more honor, the more blessings that are given to a Nabi, the more they are inclined towards making shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. And here he saw this little makhluk speaking, and Allah opened everything for him that he could hear. So what did he do? قَالَ رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ. Subhanallah, what a dua. رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي means, O Allah, O my Rabb, enable me an ashkura, that I am thankful of the blessings that you have bestowed upon me. An'amta alayya wa ala walidayya. Enable me to be thankful to you of the blessings that you have bestowed upon me and my father. Why? Because the father was also a great king, Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. And then what a dua. He says, وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا. Allah, give me the strength that I do good deeds, تَرْضَاهُ, to please you. تَرْضَاهُ, to please you. وأدخلني برحمتك في عبادك الصالحين and admit me by your mercy with your righteous servants. What a beautiful dua. And so immediately Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam is turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after this blessing, that even when the ants speak out, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam can hear this. And so great lessons have to be learned, my respected brothers and elders. If as human beings, if we can't even emulate some of the characteristics that is given to this very small makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they are free from greed and selfishness and they show compassion. And as human beings, if we don't show compassion and if we are greedy, then we are the lowest of the low. We are the lowest of the low. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this small makhluk in his kalam, in his glorious speech. There is one Israeli riwayat, a narration, in which Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam thereafter met up with this ant and spoke to this ant and said to him that, what makes you think that my army would have crushed you? What makes you think that my army would have crushed your colony? And so the ant spoke out and said, O Nabi of Allah, O Nabi of Allah, and listen to this. The ant spoke out and said, O Nabi of Allah, my cautioning to my community was not in fear that your army would crush the ant colony, but rather my fear was that if they were to see your glory and the pomp that Allah has given you, the blessings that Allah has given you, that you come with jinns, you come with birds, you come with human beings and army and such a great king, this glory that Allah has given you, there was a possibility that they would be neglectful from the zikr of Allah. And therefore I wanted to caution them that go back and make sure that you even do the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now scholars have mentioned that every makhluk has been given a tasbih. Every makhluk. That is why many chapters of the Quran begin with this ayat-e kareema with the words sabbaha lillah. Sabbaha, yusabbihu. The word sabbaha and yusabbihu, surahs of the Quran. Sabbaha means they do, everything does the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which is in the heavens and that which is in this dunya. Everything does the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, my respected brothers, that we have adab and ihtiram of everything. Without adab and ihtiram, nothing comes to us. Allahu Akbar. Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahib, who is the Shaykh al-Hadith in Darulum Bari. All the brothers know him. He is actually Ustazul Kul. A lot of the scholars that are here are directly or indirectly his students. And it's one of the old madrasas of the time. Many scholars have been graduated from Darulum Bari. His brother, Maulana Abdul Rahim Saab, who lived in Chipata in Zambia. You know him, don't you? Marhum Maulana Abdul Rahim Motala. Maulana Abdul Rahim Motala Saab just passed away recently. And mashallah, he was doing great works, especially amongst the black African community there in Zambia. And he had established a beautiful Darul Uloom and a very pious man. He is actually the elder brother to Maulana Yusuf Motala Saab. And he passed away recently, a very pious man. It is said that one of the African students there, when he passed away, had seen a dream that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam came and Maulana Abdul Rahim Saab was in his bed. He was in his bed. When you're breathing your last, he was in his bed. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam came and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam extended his hand to Maulana Abdul Rahim Saab. And Maulana Abdul Rahim Saab then put his hand forward Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam grabbed his hand and he stood up, and it is said that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam accompanied him to the hereafter. Accompanied him to the hereafter. And so he took him to the hereafter. And that is how Maulana Abdul Rahim Shah passed away. Allahu Akbar. What a death, my respected brothers. Allah give us a good death. That is why I had said today in my Jumu'ah, my respected brothers, that Allah save us. If we are doing something that is wrong in the computer, and if we are watching something which is haram in the computer, and it is not jais for the eyes to see, and if you view that, and if death comes, imagine the embarrassment. Because in the hadith it is mentioned that how you die, that is how you will be raised. So in front of the millions and billions of the people on the day of Qiyamah, this man, if he dies in this condition that he is doing guna, then everything will be opened up for all of humanity in Maidan Hashr. And that is the embarrassment in the hereafter. But what about the embarrassment of this dunya? Imagine, generally we have a tendency to ask that, by how did fala person pass away? We all ask, don't we? How did he pass away, mashallah? Allah give us good death.
Amen.
And if somebody was to say that, by he passed away in a way that if we look back into his computer and we look, browse through his pages, things were haram and not good sights. What an embarrassment it is. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us good death. Bole
ameen. Ameen.
That Allah is pleased with us.
Ameen.
And that is why when a person disobeys Allah, he has to be careful. That's why he said, Hakim Luqman said to his son, my son, if you want to do guna, no problem, go and do guna. But find a place where Allah cannot see you. What did he say? Go and do guna, no problem. But find a place where Allah cannot see you. He was a Hakim. And look at the death that comes to this great Sheikh Alim from Chipata, Maulana Abdul Rahim Mutala Sahib. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is holding his hands and taking him to the hereafter. And Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahib has mentioned this in his bayan. He mentioned this. And one of the reasons why this honor was given to him, this honor, this maqam that was given to him, was due to the intense love for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how did he show this love? It is said that he had a grandson whose name was Muhammad. He had a grandson. Maulana Abdul Rahim Sahib had a grandson whose name was Muhammad. He had never called out the name of his grandson Muhammad, but only in the state of wudu. He would never say Muhammad, but only if he had wudu in his entire life. And he would say, oh, ho, 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 I have named you after my great Nabi. I have named you after my... The intense love that he had for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that even the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he would utter was in that state of wudu. Halaki, according to the mas'ala, you don't need wudu even to read Durood Sharif. It's only Quran that you need wudu. But love, that is love. And when you have love for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this manner, this is how you die. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Amen. These were great people. Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam. One ni'mah in front of them, Allahu Akbar, an ant speaking and immediately saying, Allah give me the tawfiq that I do good actions. Allah forgive me. Allah have mercy on me. Enable me to be thankful to you of the blessings that you have bestowed upon me and my father, and admit me amongst those who are your righteous servants. And Nabi is saying, admit me amongst those who are your righteous servants. What is our condition, my respected brothers and elders? Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. That is why in Surah An-Naml, Allah has made mention of this very small makhluk in his glorious speech. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion was traveling with a large group of people, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions that we will station here in this location, and so all of the caravans are to be offloaded and we will stay here. And so all of the people, a large group of people, were with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the caravans were emptied, everything was offloaded, and some of the companions made themselves comfortable. And if they pitched up in that area, it would have been for a few days. So some of them went out looking for twigs to burn. And so, subhanAllah, every sahabi was engaged in their own chores. But all of a sudden, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up and he said to the companions that, pack up again and load everything back and let's move away from here. Let's move away from here. Sahaba-i kiram ajma'in were shocked. Allahu Akbar, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you said we should be here and now everything has been unpacked, offloaded. Now all of a sudden Allah's Nabi has changed his mind. No questions asked. Whatever you say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Quickly everything was packed, everything, the caravans and all of them, again under the leadership of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they traveled for a few miles. And after a few miles, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped again and he said, we will encamp in this location and we will stay here. Khair, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed there. Some of the companions came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said to him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we don't understand that we had pitched up the tents in the previous site, but you asked us to move. What is the wisdom and what is the reason to that? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions that I had noticed only after we had pitched up in that location that there is the dwellings of the ants in that location, the ant colonies are living in that area. And if you are to stay there and if you burn twigs and if you lit fire, obviously this will harm this small makhluk of Allah. It will harm this very small creation of Allah. And because of that, I said to you, let us pack up again and let us move to a different location. Now imagine for the people who say that Islam is a religion that spreads terrorism, aliyazu billah, and violence. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving rights to the ants, he's giving rights to the ants. And he said, all of you move again. This is the religion of Islam, the religion of peace. Khair, on the subject of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam, I wanted to make mention of this one story, beautiful story, which is recorded in the Quran, the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك اللهم ارحم أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحم أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحم أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين